Om Mangalam Guru Devaya Devi Matriksha Mangalam Mangalam Bhakta Brindevyo Sarva Lokaya Mangalam Om Stapakaya Chidarmasya Sarvararma Sarupine Avatar Varishtaya Ramakrishnaya Mangalam. Well, today is Saptami, and this beautiful, we're continuing our readings from the Chandi. Every night we've been reading. We just, last night we finished. What happened? Shumbha and Nishumbha, two great demons, have taken over the divine worlds once again. And so in the process, the Divine Mother has, most everybody was here last night, I think, almost 99%, so I won't retell the story. But as the Divine Mother appeared to save out of the essence and Shakti of all the gods, she appeared in this divine form. Shumbha and Nishumbha decided to attack her and try to control her. Right? And so she, in the great battle that we describe, the first of her generals was Dumralochana, right? He was the first to die, right? Ignorance, the smoky-eyed ignorance, right? Then Chanda and Munda, lust and anger, right? And then last night, Raktabija. And Raktabija has this wonderful quality that every drop of his blood that hits the ground becomes another demon with the same power. So we described last night how the yogis interpret that to be nature of thoughts, how one thought leads to a million thoughts, right? And so then Ma, this form of Durga, by this time, Durga is not alone. That's a tricky thing to say, but Durga is not alone in the story. Right? Chandika is there, and from her anger came Ma Kali. She's also there, and she's the one who swallows the blood of Raktabija so that no new Raktabijas are created. We read that story last night. But on the battlefield right now, you have Durga, or Chandika, the main form of the goddess, Ma Kali, and the Matrikas. Right, Varahi, Mahindri, Brahmi, Kaumari, Narasinghi, Varahi, all these forms, these divine forms, Indri. And who are they? They are from the assembled gods, the Shaktis of the gods came out. So Narasingha, of course, Vishnu is there, one of his forms is Narasingha. All of a sudden, Narasinghi was there, a feminine form, woman lioness, I guess the proper way to say it. She lion, yeah, thank you. So Narasinghi, Varahi, so Brahmi, right? Brahma's Shakti, right? And so Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Indra, they're all watching as their Shaktis are fighting, right? This is interesting, right? So there's many, while there's so many demons, there's also so many forms of the goddess on the battlefield. This is where we enter. It's good to remember because the opening line starts with this. Let's start with some Dhyan Mantra on Kameshwari Devi. I don't have the same lights. Ma Durga has the lights today. Wearing a radiant half moon upon her forehead, you shine beautifully like excellent gold. You have the sun, moon, and fire as your three eyes and hold bow, arrow, curved sword, net, and spear in your lovely hands. O Mother Kameshwari, we worship you in the fullness of our hearts. Om. So, second here. So, seeing actually what happened. So, Raktabija has been slain, right? I'm sorry, I'm ahead. One chapter ahead. I'm on the wrong page. I didn't look right when I was looking. Actually, this is better. Wonderful is this, the King Surata said, wonderful is the story, worshipful sage, which has been related to you about the greatness of the goddess, slaying the demon Raktabija. I wish to hear more about what the angry demon Shumbha and Nishumbha did after the killing of Raktabija. The sage said, after the slaying of Raktabija and the killing of the other demons in battle, the demon Shumbha and Nishumbha gave way to unbounded wrath. We mentioned that actually every time anything happens, they get angrier and angrier and angrier as their dire desires are thwarted. Nishumbha rushed forward with his main armies of demons, surrounded by the great demons, biting their lips in anger. He came forward to kill the goddess. Shumbha, strong in valor, also advanced with his armies to slay Chandika. enraged after fighting with the Shaktis. Then began a fierce battle between the goddess and Shumba and Nishumba, who, like two thunderclouds, showered her with terrible arrows. Chandika quickly split the arrow shot by the two demons with her many arrows. She then struck the bodies of the demon lords with her mace, or with her mass of weapons. Nishumba grabbed a sharp sword and shining shield and struck the goddess's great lion mount on the head. When her carrier was struck, the goddess quickly cut Nishumba's exquisite sword and shield, decorated with eight moons, with a sharp arrow. So actually, this is the first time we're getting a really good battle between Shumba, now Shumba and Nishumba in the battle, not just the generals, right? So we have to again think who Shumba and Nishumba, Shumba and Nishumba are. We mentioned Shumba has been interpreted to be the ego, right? This sense of separated self, selfishly motivated, separated self. And Nishumba, we gave a simple, if Shumba is ego, Nishumba is the opposite of ego, right? Ni means not that, right? So that's that sense of lack, right? But then we go a little deeper. Nishumba has specifically is the quality of trying to grab and identify with things, right? So you have I, Shumba is a sense of I, and Nishumba is mine, right? And I and mine go so close, they're almost never apart. We can't think of I without mine. Without mine, I has nothing to stand upon, right? And so why that mine is Nishumba, you don't grab if you're complete. So that sense of broken, that sense of emptiness is what makes us try to grab and identify my body, my house, my family, my country, my desires, this is how we try to find security in an where we're not in an insecure position. The ego is very insecure due to this emptiness. So here, Nishumba is described as having a shield full of moons, right? That's the commentators have mentioned. That's just this sense of false glory, right? You have we decorate ourselves to make ourselves very big and important, like this, right? So these two are always, and we mentioned before that Shumba and his brother Nishumba are so close. They're very strange. He says, "Dearer than life himself," is Shumba to Nishumba. Nishumba to Shumba, right? And in the original wedding proposition, he says, "You should marry Shumba, or you should marry me, Shumba, or my brother Nishumba," right? Because the same thing, it's the same, the two different aspects of the same thing, right? So you see, it's very, very hard to have one without the other. Without mine, my eye falls down, which is going to happen. Between the battle, the first Shumba and Nishumba are both fighting the Divine Mother. Right, very interesting that the sense of ego and grasping for identity and security and possession, right, in possession, is going on. This is a very internal struggle. This too is the demon Nishumba, swelling in his wrath, then threw at his dart. This too was reduced to powder by the goddess's fist. He then flung his club against Chandika, which was burned to ash by being split by the goddess's trident. The goddess attacked the heroic demons with battle axe in hand, and he fell to the ground. Seeing his powerful brother Nishumba laying on the ground, Shumba became completely infuriated and rushed forward to slay Ambika. Standing in his chariot and holding awesome weapons in his eight mighty arms, he pervaded the atmosphere with his luster. Seeing him approaching, the goddess blew her conch and twanged her bowstring, making an unbearable sound. The sound of her bell filling all directions destroyed the strength of the demons. The lion gave out a great roar, filling the heavens and earth and the 10 directions, causing kingly elephants to go out of rut. Then Kali leaped up in the sky and then struck the earth with both her hands, causing such a noise that drowned all the previous sounds. Shivaduti made a loud peal of laughter, which frightened the demons, and Shumba became very angry. That whole paragraph is all about this great noise, great sound, right? And one of the very first hymns in the Chandi, the Brahma Stuti, Tvam Swaha, Tvam Swaha, Tvam Hi, right? It's all, you are mantra, you are swaha, you are shabdatmika, the very essence of sound, right? So this is that divine mantra, the sound om, the sound of the Vedas. As now this huge sound is coming and shaking, everybody, all the demons are getting scared and running away. Kali, I like, she she leaps up and slams, she leaps into the sky and slams the ground with her fist, right? Also, once again, that constant symbolism of from Muladhara up to the top, right? "O evil one, stop where you are, stop where you are," shouted Ambika. So now Ma is speaking, "O evil one," to the ego, Shumba, "stop where you are." The gods cheered her, saying, "Victory to you, Jai Ma." That's what we do, Jai Ma. That's what we're doing, Jai Ma, Jai Ma, Jai. Shumba came forward, thrusting a Shakti weapon, frightening like a flaming mountain. The goddess put it out with her firebrand. The lion-like roar of Shumba filled the three worlds, but the thunderclap of the goddess overcame that sound. That's the thing, mantra has to be louder than the chatter in our heads, you know. Shumba and the goddess cut one another's arrows by the hundreds and thousands. Then Chandi stabbed him with her spear. Wounded, he fell senseless on the ground. So now, first Nishumba was on the ground, and Shumba came up. Now she's knocked down Shumba, and again Nishumba comes up. These two constantly go back and forth. Nishumba, regaining consciousness, picked up his bow and shot Kali and her lion with arrows. The demon lord, the son of Diti, with 10,000 arms, attacked Chandika with his discs. Bhagavad, this is 10,000 arms that identifies and grabs everything. This is Nishumba, right? Bhagavati Durga grew angry and destroyed those discs with her arrows. Thereupon Nishumba quickly seized his club and rushed to kill Chandika, surrounded by his army of demons. As he rushed towards her, Chandika broke his club with her sharp-edged sword. He grabbed his spear and with spear in hand, Nishinga, the enemy of the gods, came forward and was stabbed in the heart by Chandika's own spear. From his heart, thus pierced by her spear, came a person of great strength and great virility, crying, "Stop!" Right? As Nishumba was stabbed, something within Nishumba came out, screaming, "Stop!" Laughing loudly, the goddess cut off his head with her sword. He fell to the ground. The lion then devoured the demons whose necks had been crushed by his teeth, while Kali and Shivaduti devoured others. Now these are all the matrikas. Kalmadi's missiles killed some great demons, while others were repulsed by the holy waters sprinkled by Brahmani. Mahishwari's trident pierced others, while Varahi crushed some to powder with her snout. Some demons were cut to pieces by Vaishnavi's discs, and others were hit by the lightning of Aindri. Some demons perished, some fled the great battle, and others were devoured by Kali, Shivaduti, and the lion. Thus ends the ninth chapter, entitled The Slaying of Nishumba, found at Devi Mahatmyam of the Markandeya Purana, spoken when Savarni was Manu. So this, now Nishumba is dead, right? So now Shumba stands alone, right? This is very important. I remember one old sadhu we met, a very sweet old sannyasi named Swami Sahajananda. We interviewed him once, and he was saying that I and mine are so close, they're like the same thing, it's hard to separate them. So how do we think of I? We can't think of I. As soon as you think of I, you think of your identity, and you think your identity, your body, your family, your country, your culture, your things, your possession, your income, your job. You can't think of yourself outside of your attachments and things that go to make up your identity, right? So it's almost impossible to have the self-analysis. When you try to contemplate your own self, you're thinking about all your stuff and and the things you identify with, right? So it's very difficult. How do you find yourself? So he says that as a sannyasi, what we try to do, we get rid of mine, right? At least trying. We have no possession, theoretically. You have no family, theoretically. You know, bit by bit, you disassociate yourself with all these things you identify with, hopefully leaving the I exposed. Without mine, then you can catch the I to see what it is. Otherwise, it's almost impossible. I and mine are always, Shumba and Nishumba, always together. Almost impossible. Until Nishumba was killed, there's no chance to really see Shumba as what he is, to see the ego for what it really is. Right? So this chapter starts, chapter 10 starts, with some meditation on Kameshwari. Actually, I read that. We started. Yes, we read that in the beginning. Seeing his brother Nishumba, as dear to him as his own life, slain and the army destroyed, the demon Shumba angrily said, wicked and proud of your strength, talking to Divine Mother, O Durga, do not show your pride before me. Right? He's by definition pride, accusing her of having pride, right? You fight resorting to the strength of others. Right? So he's seeing, like, you know, my army has been destroyed. Why? Because you're not by yourself. You're, oh, Durga, Chandika, you're there. But you have Kali, you have Shivaduti, you have Aindri and Brahmi, Maheshwari and Narasinghi and Varahi, and like this. So he's thinking all these devis are there. So he's thinking that this is like it's not fair, right? Right. Mind you, we know who came to the battle. What did he come with the battle to? He came with thousands, tens of thousands of demon armies, right? Headed by Dumralochana, Chanda, Munda, Raktabija, right? So many. We described, I mean, elephants and cavalries and huge things.
Fourfold.
Right? And he's saying, now that they're all killed, right? His brother is killed, which means, what if his brother being killed means his attachment to all those things that he used as weapons to hold himself up, to protect himself, those are also gone. So now he's saying, oh, you're full of pride, right? You're fighting on the strength of others, right? So Ma says something very beautiful, right? You recite, you know the mantra.
Ekaivaham jagatyatra dvitiya kama mapara.
Ekaivyaham, eka. One, Aiva, only. Aham, I am. Right, now Ma says, there's only one here. I'm only one. Right? Jagat Yatro. In this whole world is only me. Right? There's nothing other than me. Right? Dvitiya ka mamapara. Where do you find somebody else? Show me where there is a second person to me. Right? This is actually, this could be considered the golden key to the whole Chandi, this verse. Right, this is considered like a Mahavakya, like Aham Brahmasmi and Tattvamasi, Pragyana Brahma, like this, the Mahavakya. This is the Mahavakya, the Chandi. Right, I am the only one here in this world. Who else is here besides me? Right, so all these forms we're seeing, that you're seeing, you know, that are fighting with me, they're us, my forms. Right, so not only that, all these forms are her forms, but every form we see. Right, the whole beginning of this chapter says that you're spread out, of this charita, that every form in this entire universe is controlled, permeated by her shakti. Everything is her form. Not just these forms are her form, every form is her form. There's only her, right? Only she exists. Right, but what about Mahisha? So what about
Shumba,
right? In his army, he seemed to have so much, but these are not equals. Ma is everybody is part of Ma's shakti. She exists with all beings, and Mahisha also has this huge army, right? But it's not a huge army, right? Otherwise, they were put to death within a second. This illusion goes away, and they're gone. Whom and the whole army is destroyed, right? Right. What is that all these different things, they're just different aspects of the separated ego, that separated sense of self, and all the things that go to create that. It's just more and more broken self, broken aspects of the self, of the false self. So they don't exist. They're not like he also has, look, I have all these forms, they're all me. He himself is a tiny speck of a separated aspect, spark of the Divine Mother, and then in order to keep that false sense of self alive, he's separated him to thousands of other parts, all these other demons, right? But she says, I'm the only one here, including you, right? You're not here besides me, right? You know, you're also, I'm not only these goddesses, but this whole world and you, O Shumba, are only me, right? She's Mahavidya, Mahamaya, right? Both, right? I am the only one here in this world. Who else is here besides me? O wicked one, all the goddesses are my own powers. They are again entering into me. Then all the goddesses led by Brahmani were reabsorbed into the body of the goddess. Ambika then alone remained. Right? So actually she alone remained, but there seems to be, that's a big statement, that's a state, that's a fact. Only she remained, right? Still Shumba is fighting. Right? So what's Shumbha? Shumbha is just, right now, this is the last moment of struggle. Right? The one awesome being, that's the only being, including ourselves, and our sense of fearful, fragmented personality, scared to lose its identity, lose its individuality in that realization, right? So you can imagine he's not going to stop fighting with this realization. Now is his last chance to fight, right? The goddess again spoke. The numerous forms projected by my power have all been withdrawn into me. I stand alone. Stand up and fight. This is the last moment, right? The sage said, then between the goddess and the demon Shumbha began a dreadful battle. A few other ones weren't dreadful, this one's dreadful. While the gods and demons looked on with showers of arrows, sharp weapons, and fearful missiles, the two engaged in a battle that frightened all the worlds. The lord of the demons broke all the divine missiles and Ambika hurled at him in the hundreds with his own defensive weapons. Many of the excellent weapons hurled by him were likewise playfully broken by Supreme Goddess by the chanting of Hum and other mantras. Then the demon covered the goddess with hundreds of arrows, and the goddess, in anger, cut his bow with her own arrows. With his bow broken, the lord of demons took up his spear. The goddess also split his spear while still in his hands with a disc, taking his sword bright as the sun and his shield as 100 moons. The one known as Supreme Monarch of the demons rushed at the goddess. As he rushed towards her, Chandika split his sword with sharp arrows shot from her bow, as well as his shield shining like the sun. With his horses dead, his bow broken, and without a charioteer, the demon grabbed his terrible club and tried to kill Ambika. With his sharp arrow, she split Shumbha's club while he rushed at her. Even then, he rushed at her with fists upraised. So now he has no weapons. Now he's fighting hand to hand, right? Bit by bit, he's being stripped down, right? You see, I and mine, I gets its power by its identifying features of mine, right? Even stripped, as the mind is being stripped, he's still fighting because he doesn't want to lose that identity. Right? He's scared to let go, as we all are. The demon king brought his fist down upon the heart of the goddess. Imagine hitting Ma on the heart. So you can see this is a very face-to-face, in the most last moments of struggle with his fist. With his palm. The demon king brought his fist upon the heart of the goddess, and the goddess also hit him in the chest with her palm. So that's a start. As soon as Ma starts hitting you in the heart, you're about to go, right? This palm. The demon king, wounded by the blow of her palm, fell to the earth, but immediately rose up again. Grabbing the goddess, he jumped into the sky. Then there also Chandika fought with him without any support. The yogis have said that as Kundalini rises, these are all states of consciousness. Even on the higher levels, there's still struggle, right? Until the last barrier is destroyed. The demon and Chandika fought in close combat in the sky like never before, causing wonder in the minds of siddhas and sages. After long, close combat, Ambika lifted him up, whirled him around, and then threw him down to the earth. Thus thrown to the earth, the evil nature one quickly got up and rushed forward to kill Chandika with fist upraised. The goddess, seeing the approach of the lord of the demon, threw him again to the earth by piercing him in the chest with her spear. Pierced by the goddess' sharp spear, he fell dead on the ground, shaking the entire earth with its seas, islands, and mountains. And so that final knot in the heart. When the evil demon was slain, the entire universe became happy and regained perfect peace, and the sky grew clear. You feel the change, right? The flaming, ominous clouds became tranquil, and the rivers regained their natural courses after he was slain. After his death, the minds of the multitude of gods became filled with joy, and the Gandharvas began to sing sweet songs. Others played their musical instruments while heavenly nymphs danced. Favorable winds began to blow and the sun shined radiantly above. The sacred fires blazed peacefully, and the fearful sounds that had filled all directions became tranquilized. Thus ends the 10th chapter entitled The Slaying of Shumba, found in the Devi Mahatmyam of the Markandeya Purana, spoken when Savarni was Manu. So this is now Shumba is dead, Nishumba is dead, and again everything is restored. The interesting thing, now it's just brought back how it was, right? So that's the language of the Chandi. Now everything, the fires are going, but different, right? Because now we should have, now we go back to regular life. Also, Durga Navaratri will end, right? And all these pujas, we're thinking like, oh, we have to go back to regular life also, right? But what do we do with this now? We go, it's different. We know there's no one here but her. She's Mahavidya, she's Mahamaya, she's become everything, she's become us. She's our fortune, she's our misfortune, she's our suffering, she's our happiness. Right, remembering her causes our suffering, forgetting her causes our suffering, remembering her, recognizing her causes our liberation. So we know we have to now approach like this, right? The next chapter is a beautiful hymn we'll read tomorrow night, Narayani Stuti. We get that Sarva Mangala Mangaliye from, right? Where, once again, now with this realization, what do the gods say? So what should we take from this? That is put into the words of the devas in this Narayani Stuti. And then the following night, on Tuesday night, we'll read the last two chapters, which is what happens to we'll pick up the story of Surata, the king Surata, the merchant Samadhi, and the sage Medas, right? And the final chapter describes the benefit of the recitation of the Chandi, the Palstuti, some other important details. So thank you very much for your kind attention. It's been quite a day today. Ma Durga has come. Actually, before, are you still on? I was remembering today, Sri Ramakrishna made a comment about this form of Durga that comes, right? The tradition is that Ma, of course, the Divine Mother, she got married as Parvati and went off to the Himalayas, right? To Kailash. So she lives at Kailash. But time to time, it's not easy to live with Shiva in Kailash. Yeah. First point, it's cold, right? And they're ascetics, they're doing tapasya, it's that bhava, right? So, and so she comes back home to her father's house once a year, right? So that's what happens. She arrived yesterday. That she came yesterday, and she stays 4 days, right? And so Shiva, he brings her. He leaves her at home, and then he goes back to continue his business, right? And the tradition is that because a woman has to work so hard in the husband's house, when she goes home, she doesn't have to work, right? It's funny because I went at my guru's ashram, and he was asking, you know, in America, who cooks at the ashram? He says, oh, I cook. And he says, who cleans? Well, we have cleaners, but we do. And we were like, who does puja? We're doing the puja. And he says, oh, you cook, and you cook, right? You should cook. Your kitchen here, you should cook here. Right? I said, well, I've taken a vow that since I cook every day in America, and when I go to India, I never cook. Right? And he goes, yes, yes, yes. Like an Indian housewife, yeah. Right? When you come back home, there you work. There's your husband. In America is your husband's house, at Kali Mandir. There you work, right? When you come back to the ashram, you don't have to work. We'll cook everything. So, using the same thing, right? But so, I was trying to remember today, over lunch, I was trying to remember to somebody. Sri Ramakrishna said, it wasn't his idea, but he liked the idea. Maybe Keshav Sen or some of the preachers of his time was giving symbolism to Unmad, because Durga comes with her children, it says. And here she has two daughters, two sons, right? Lakshmi and Saraswati, and Ganesha and Kartikeya, right? And so he says, gives the interpretation, when Ma comes, when you have Ma, right, automatically you have success, right? Lakshmi is prosperity, right? Saraswati is knowledge. She also comes. Ganesha is success. And Kartikeya is power, right? So when you have Ma, you have prosperity, you have knowledge, you have success, you have power. Whenever she comes, she doesn't come alone. She comes with her children. These are her shaktis, right? So that very now thinking as we worship this form today, that's a very auspicious way to think, you know. So that's what we hope to take from this. She's in our lives. Everything is there. Anyway, Jai Mahamayi Ki Jai.